Connor Riley is here. Connor, you answer that question. They won the game, but did it feel like it should have?
No. This is a Mississippi State team that is probably going to end the year as the worst in the SEC. And while, yes, there was a time where this game was 34-10 and Georgia had a chance to really make it 41-17 at one point, it felt closer because of how Georgia finished the second half in that game. And if you want to make the argument that they tried to downshift and go ahead and prepare for Texas, that's fine. But some of the issues that we've seen throughout this season propped up or came up again in that game against Mississippi State. And there were a couple chances there where Mississippi State had a chance to really make it a game, and they were unable to. But this was by far from Georgia's best showing. And some of the things we saw in that Alabama game came up once again against Mississippi State.
I know, Connor, I've been railing about it. I apologize for just being a broken record. I just felt like they needed to run the ball more. Now, I know they want to save ETN. You don't want to have your premier backs getting banged up before the Texas game. But I look at Texas, and they're so good in the pass defense. And we know that Carson Beck just threw for 459 yards. But what about the run game and establishing that in Texas? Is that an oversimplification of what they should be doing?
I think it's an oversimplification for this week. No disrespect, Mike, but you look at the teams that Texas has played with a pulse. Oklahoma, one of the worst offenses in football. Michigan, they do not have a quarterback on their team. This is by far and away going to be the best passing offense that this Texas defense has faced, and I'm not all that certain that they're going to be able to stand up to it. As far as running the ball, I think maybe you're right in some sense. I don't know if it's giving the ball to ETN more, but I think Mike Bobo has done this at times, and maybe you want to see it a little bit more. Getting balls to other guys than wide receivers. We saw it last year, obviously, Brock Bowers, Brad McConkey, but we saw a little bit of it on Saturday. Anthony Evans had a 52-yard run. Dylan Bell had a touchdown in the Alabama game there. I do think that they've got to find ways to be creative in the running game, and now with the running back situation being what it is, with Branson Robinson out, Georgia kind of has no choice, I think, but to get Nate Frazier a little bit more involved there in addition to helping out Trevor Etienne. But I thought on Saturday in particular, the running backs left some plays out there, some yards out there that were to be had. And this is a Texas front that has some really talented edge rushers. So Georgia's going to need a complete offensive performance on Saturday. And we're going to learn a lot about both this Georgia offense, but I think this Texas defense as well, because I don't believe they've played anyone in the same ballpark offensively as to what Georgia will bring to the table.
Connor, this may be unfair, but do they miss Muschamp? I mean, Glenn Schumann in the fourth, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are we calling here? How do you feel about that as far as the calls, or is this simply guys not executing?
I think if they're missing anyone from this coaching staff, it's more the cornerbacks coach, Fran Brown, than it is Will Muschamp. Travis Robinson is still a very good coach, and I think if you look at the problems with this Georgia defense, it is more in the cornerback and front seven than necessarily at that safety position that Will Muschamp was in charge of last season. I think part of there are a number of different ways we can go here. The pass rush has been non-existent, and I think part of that is they're trying to get Mykel Williams healthy and get him to a point where he can be a down-by-down player. Ask Kirby about that today. He's trying to get to that point there. I don't think that their linebackers now, especially without Small Munden, are great moving side to side, and you've sort of seen that pop up in some of the struggles in terms of covering running backs out of the backfield there. But the biggest worry that came out on Saturday was just this cornerback play, and it was just not good enough. All three of Georgia's top-tier cornerbacks, Daylon Everett, Daniel Harris, and Julian Humphrey, all got beat for big plays on Saturday. Michael Van Buren, the Mississippi State quarterback, threw for 307 yards, and he only had 20 completions. That's 15 yards of completion. That's not where Georgia wants to be in that aspect. So they've got to win some more 50-50 balls. They've got to be better at the cornerback position. And I happen to think a lot of that comes down to execution, and I don't necessarily buy a whole lot of the Will Muschamp and him taking a step back. But I will give some credit there. Will Muschamp's been a lot of Vanderbilt games this year, to watch his son Witt, and Vanderbilt's playing a lot better than they usually are in Georgia's secondary. Has at least taken a step back. So if you want to draw that conclusion, I'm not going to stop
you. I know you had it in Dog Nation, Connor, but Malachi Stark saying, I don't think we've played a complete game, talking about the lapses against Miss State. Do you need more Muschamp? I could have used more Muschamp. Well, I mean, talk about the defensive coaches. Talk about the philosophy. I mean, I thought we were a little over. I know you disagreed. I thought we were a little over-aggressive going after Alabama. But what will the philosophy be with yours, and how are they going to approach this in the game on Saturday in Austin?
I'm fascinated to watch how this goes, how this chess match goes against Steve Sarkisian. Because the last time Kirby Smart and part of this defensive staff matched up against Sarkisian, Sarkisian carved him up in 2020 when that was when he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Now, different personnel. You know, that Alabama team was loaded. Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Mac Jones at quarterback. And nobody was playing defense during that 2020 season. But Sark, in terms of calling a game, is as good as there anyone is in college football. And Glenn Schumann's really going to have a great day on Saturday and have an A-plus plan ready for what they're going to be able to do out there. And it's not just the defense that has not played a complete game. This is a team-wide thing. I think for the most part, Georgia has 40 good minutes in them, and you've seen that throughout the season so far. But they've also got just 20 minutes where they just sort of flow through the game, or in games against, like, I think Mississippi State and Alabama, they just don't look good at all. And you can't beat this Texas team with playing that kind of way. If they play 40 good minutes, they're going to lose. And so they're going to have to go out there and play a complete game for the first time this season. Maybe if you want to throw the Clemson game in there, you can. But this is a team going on the road. They know that this Texas team is good enough to beat them if Georgia doesn't bring their A game. And the reality is, we haven't seen that A game from Georgia yet this season. And six games in, I think it's maybe fair to wonder, you know, is this what this team is at this point? Is there not that extra gear that they can hit like they have in years past?
Kirby talked about competing and fighting. Those are terms he used after this game. He was talking about the DBs, but you could apply that to the entire team, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the offense, it was an interesting performance on Saturday. 600 total yards, 41 total points. Those are good things to hit. But, you know, it was a little sluggish out of the gates in terms of just execution, the tip ball interception there, a few red zone stops. Then, obviously, in the second half, Carson Beck throws an interception where I know he said after the game he thought it was blatant pass interference. You just can't make that kind of a throw there and take points off the board in that situation. And so I think that this is an offense and a team as a whole where, you know, they're doing a lot of really good things, but they've yet to put forth a really great performance. I saw a lot of things that you could like from that game, the usage of the wide receivers, the way that they were able to go on a long, time-consuming drive to sort of suck the air out of the game on Saturday. But just like the defense and like they need to against a very good Texas offense, this Georgia offense, which we thought was going to be the strength of the team going into the year, needs to have a very strong day on Saturday if this Georgia team is going to win. I think this Texas team, maybe not quite as good on defense as they're cracked up to be because of the opponents that they've played. But you look at what happened against Alabama, where Georgia went on the road and scored one touchdown in the first half, missed on some key plays early, and then I think really pressed in the second quarter there. They've got to come out and not necessarily start fast, but start composed. You know, go out there and sustain a drive to start, get into a game, get into the rhythm quickly in that game. And I think that's going to go a long way in helping this Georgia team.
Talking with Connor Riley, guys. Hey, Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Before we let you go, no, it wasn't Woody Hayes punching Clemson's Charlie Ballman, but it happened right in front of me. So everyone in my section was like, did that really just happen? I know that Kirby reached out to Coach Lebby from Miss State and apologized for pushing Van Buren. Nothing happened. SEC's not going to look at this, right? Everything's cool?
No, Greg Sankey has put out a statement saying Kirby Smart should have been flagged for making contact with Van Buren on the play there. He was not. It was especially that because the referee was right there. And on first glance, it looks like he's going up to yell at the referee. But, you know, he explained that it was Schumann, and then you pretty clearly see that he's trying to get Schumann's attention there. I think that this is something where Smart was caught up in the heat of the moment. And the way that the fourth quarter had unfolded for Georgia and really the second half as a whole, you can understand why Smart was a little bit on edge. But he also recognized this is something that can happen. Greg Sankey has said as much. And I think going forward, if something like this does happen with Smart again, there's obviously going to be a much sterner punishment for this type of action and behavior.
All right, Connor, I'd love to say, I know it's Monday and we're still, you know, reminiscing about the weekend, but this is such a big game for the Dogs on the road. The Kentucky atmosphere will be nothing like what they'll see at Texas. But what do you think? Close game? Closer than people expect it to be? How do you feel at least right now?
I don't really have a great feel for this game. I was confident going into the Alabama game. I maybe like Georgia was a little too confident in that regard. There's not a history between these two teams. You know, Kirby Smart, he's never coached a game in Austin, and so it's going to be a unique atmosphere. I know on Saturday you've got the red and black versus the orange, and then maybe on Sunday in Austin at Circuit of Americas, you've got the red and black of the TFOC going against the orange and McLaren's. It's going to be a really fun weekend. I know a ton of Georgia fans are going down to the game. I would expect there to be maybe more Georgia fans than some would anticipate for this game. Texas, not exactly known for having a great home crowd. And it's going to be just, I think, an all-time great environment. And coming off a great college football last weekend, I expect another one this weekend.
Yeah.